It's time for Lickin' On Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lickin' On Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Lickin' On Lending, David Lickin.
Let's begin.
On today's hot topic, I am excited to have Scott Rose, who's Chief Innovation Officer at Class Valuations. Scott has over 18 years of valuation industry experience, and prior to joining Class, he was the Vice President of Valuation Connect and served two terms as the former Vice Chair of the Colorado Board of Real Estate Advisors. Today, you're going to hear him talk about the current challenges in the valuation space. We're going to talk also about some types of appraisal technology that is possible today. Very interesting, as well as the value this brings to lenders. We're looking forward to sharing this interview that we just recorded. So, all right, let's get this started. Folks, I'm excited to have Scott Rose, Chief Innovation Officer with Class Valuations, joining me on the call. Scott, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, David. Appreciate it.
I want our audience to get to know you a little bit, Scott. So tell us, did you get in the mortgage industry or in the appraisal side of the business by accident or intentionally?
Well, it's kind of both, I suppose. You know, as a lot of real estate appraisers end up in the profession, whether it's family or friends. One of my great friends growing up had an older brother who was an appraiser. And so I found myself working in the appraisal offices in the summer times.
Oh, good.
Would run back and forth to the one-hour photo store and print out paper copies of appraisals and glue the photos in and deliver them to clients.
Oh, boy.
And just kind of the office gopher. And that's how I started.
So how did you end up getting connected with the folks at Class Valuation?
As you know, Mike Detweiler, our CEO, and I have had a long relationship, both personally as well as colleagues in the industry, and always had a lot of respect for one another and you know, had hoped to work together one day. And I left Valuation Connect. I was the president there. It was originally Urban Lending Solutions Appraisals. We grew that business and sold it to Mortgage Connect in 2017. And I left at the beginning of 2018. And right as I was leaving is when Mike and Adam Doctoroff, who is a partner in Narrow Gauge Capital, the firm that acquired Class last March, approached me about this opportunity. And so it's just kind of timing, just worked out perfectly, and was able to join in and join Class in April of 2018.
Well, as most of you know, Class Valuations, one of the top AMCs, the top three to be exact, and you were just acquired, as you mentioned. Give us a little more background on Class Valuations.
Absolutely. So Class Valuation really grew up in the wholesale space. We are by far the largest AMC that operates within the wholesale lending aspect of our market. And as mentioned, in 2018, it was acquired by Narrow Gauge Capital. And really, you know, the opportunity that Narrow Gauge and others saw in the organization was it had a phenomenal customer service and operating model, very efficient operating platform, and was fairly sectored in the wholesale space doing traditional appraisal work. And knowing that the industry was about to embark on all these changes, saw a great opportunity to kind of leverage that operating platform and start to grow and expand the business into other verticals, as well as really invest in technology to really help drive the direction of where the industry is going for the future.
Well, you guys have done a great job, and you now have a lot of capital behind you, so we're expecting some great things, and I'm really excited to talk about appraisals. It really kind of hit my radar again when Housing Wire published an article on August 23rd entitled, "Appraisals May Soon Not Be Required on Certain Home Sales of $400,000 and Under." That got my attention. Then you read down later, it says this is not applicable to Fannie Mae loans, Freddie Mac loans, or HUD loans or VA loans. I'm going, well, okay, who is this applicable for? And I guess it's for some portfolio product, but talk about that article. I'm sure you read it and have some thoughts on it.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, the recent raise in the de minimis level definitely caused a lot of media attention, and You know, I know a lot of appraiser organizations were really lobbying to keep that down to try to continue to require a licensed appraiser to be involved in these valuations. You know, as you mentioned, it's probably not going to have a huge impact today with Fannie and Freddie and HUD, where the majority of the mortgage loans are originated through. It may have a bit more of an impact on home equity lending or other portfolio lending. You know, a lot of that has been in the jumbo space, which probably exceeds that de minimis level anyways, at least in the portfolio side outside of home equity lending. So really, home equity will probably have the biggest impact for today. It's hard to say with privatization and other things taking place what that might hold for the future, if it has a broader impact industry-wide at that point. But right now, I think it will really be, you know, segregated to the home equity lending market.
I agree with that. I gave some feedback to the editors at HousingWire because they're doing a follow-up article on this. And I really said, I don't think this is going to have a big impact, at least not immediately, as long as we're in a Fannie Freddie world. But we're seeing more private securities coming in that could change all that. So we may not be as heavily reliant on Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and HUD and VA in the future. So that could bring some changes. But that's more of a change. I want to talk about what's challenging the valuation space today. What would you say are the biggest challenges?
Well, I think it depends on the stakeholder's perspective. From users of appraisal services, I think the challenges are really around cost and capacity and timelines, right? The mortgage market is moving into a much more digital world with instant gratification, yep. Right? You can get bank statements pulled electronically. Credit reports are instantaneous. A lot of the credit side has advanced to really streamline and decrease cycle time. And so appraisals are continuing to be a long pole in the tent. And I think that pole is getting longer as the
rest of
the mortgage industry, right? So I think that's a big challenge for the appraisal industry today. And then with all this change is hard. And if you think about it from our perspective, it really boils down to adoption and building adoption within the profession so that the profession can move along with the change without creating too much of an impact there.
Well, also the fact that we have a lot of appraisers aging out, getting old and retiring, going away, is that something that you would consider a challenge today?
It gets talked about a lot, and I do. I think that adds to both challenges, right? Because we do have a more limited populace of appraisers. And so when we go through refi booms and when transaction volume goes up, we continue to see these strains, especially in certain areas of the market of the country. Right. Everyone knows Washington State, Oregon, Colorado was in there for a long time. There's areas where turn times all of a sudden are extending to 3 and 4 weeks and costs are going up extensively. And that's painful for the industry. And I do think that's a contributor. And then as well as change, right? Studies show that the older and older we get, the harder and harder it is to accept change and move with change. So that adds to the adoption problem too. I do think that some of the technologies that are coming into play though in the current market could help with that. And we do have an aging populace that maybe aren't quite ready for retirement. And they'd like to extend their working years, but they don't want to be out in the field inspecting properties in the winter in Detroit or in Colorado. And, it's getting harder to walk around the outside of homes and things of that stuff. And so if we can keep them busy, focused on the analysis at their desk without having to go into the field, maybe it allows them to extend their working years while we, continue to solve to bring more people into the profession.
How do you see that happening? I agree with you. Having grown up in Minnesota, I can't even imagine doing an appraisal when it's 20 below out there. I mean, it's miserable. But I've heard drones being used. I've heard all kinds of alternatives to the process of getting a valuation without giving up the appraisal. What are some of the things that are kind of getting you excited that you're hearing about?
So, what really gets me excited is really around digitization of a home, of a property. And capturing much more rich data sets using, technologies that exist nowadays, right? Computer vision is a very powerful technology, and it can glean a lot of information from photographs. And so there's some really cool tech that's being deployed in the market now that is enabling us to, one, really be able to give more transparency and a lot more visibility into a property without being there. And two, within that, we're expanding our data sets that we're able to capture about the home, understanding where things are spatially in or around that property, for instance, a view. Now we would know, is that view visible from a corner bathroom, or is that view visible from a great room with floor-to-ceiling windows and the back deck and the kitchen or master bedroom and things of that really apply to value. We can now capture that within the data set.
I want to go into the future of where appraisals are headed in just a minute, but I want to talk a little bit about GSE modernization and some of the initiatives that you're seeing coming out of the GSEs. Talk about that, especially as the chief innovation officer. Is this innovation or is this just a small step towards where we need to be?
No, I think it was the starting step, right? And some things that have been, you know, the testimonies going on might not be as innovative, but I do believe that those initiatives are leading to innovation in our industry. You know, that's a big area that we were focused on, and we can talk a little bit more as we move into that topic. But the GSEs is, you know, the FHFA put a couple of directives out, what they call scorecards in 2018
yeah.
to both Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. One was a joint initiative to work on the UAD data set and the forms redesign. So they said, you know, hey, guys, our forms are old. The data set's kind of archaic. Let's look at that and find out what we need to do to help advance our profession into the future. And second, each of you individually, we want you to go work on modernizing the appraisal process, the valuation process. And so both of them are working independently and on trying to find ways to really modernize the appraisal profession. And, you know, I mentioned earlier when you asked how I started, you know, I started gluing photographs and scratching comp and subject arrows on paper appraisals. And I really think the last major change in our industry was the digital camera and email, right? When all of a sudden
right.
we could start sending, you know, copies of appraisals through email versus, you know, having to use couriers and all the costs of paper and courier services to deliver appraisals to clients. So within that, the real main thing that's kind of transpired is this concept of bifurcation, right? Everybody talks about the bifurcated process. And what does that mean? It's really about splitting the inspection of the property aspect of the overall process of an appraisal
right.
from the analysis and reporting. And whether you split that between two appraisers or there are some tests that are going on in the marketplace, testing other labor forces like insurance inspectors or real estate agents to perform the inspection part of the process and then have an appraiser at their desktop that receives all that data and information to generate a value conclusion. And the concept is that, you know, one, we might not always need a desktop appraisal, right? The agencies have appraisal waiver programs, both Freddie and Fannie, and some
right.
of adding the property inspection data is really allowing them to increase the population of waivers that they can provide. Because when they give appraisal waivers, you know, they did when they performed a study to understand where their models degrade because they depend on that information to run the models they use to generate waivers, the information that comes from
right.
the appraisals themselves. So
yeah.
if they decrease that work coming in, the models start to degrade. And so it was right around, I think, and don't quote me on this, I want to say it was somewhere between 13 and 15% of waivers is when they started to see model degradation. And by adding property data back into the mix, it helps those models from continuing to further degrade, and they can expand that waiver population, which, you know, that does provide. I know that scares appraisers. I think there's still plenty of appraisal work that will be out there to keep
oh, yeah.
everyone, you know, busy over the time. But, you know, it does improve the consumer experience to some extent when it reduced the cost and it gives some level of certainty further up in the process and they're not waiting anxiously to find out, you know, when's the appraisal coming in, when's the appraisal coming in, et cetera.
Yeah, well, and it really opens up to appraisal technology. And what are the types of things that you're seeing being piloted today? And where do you see the future of technology? I mean, we're looking at artificial intelligence. We're seeing about all the changes, and it's impacting so many areas. And appraisal industry has been a bit of a laggard, but as industry leaders, Class Valuations is definitely an industry leader, you have probably a unique perspective on where things are going.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's a good handful of leaders in the marketplace today. You know, we've got some really great competitors out there that are working tirelessly to also, you know, help drive our profession forward and, you know, bring more credibility. I think the really important part is we talk about it a lot, like, you know, thoughtful change and, you know, be responsible. As we start to test these new ways and these new concepts, ensuring that why we are able to decrease cycle times and potentially cost, I think cycle time is probably more of the important focus, that we don't degrade, to use that word again, the output or the outcome of the appraisal process. So we need to bring technologies in that allow us to, you know, reduce those cycle times and shorten that long pole in the tent to accommodate the instant gratification that you know, our society looks for today, while at the same time improving, not degrading, but improving the outcome of the result of the valuation. And so I think we can't do that without technology. Some of the tests that have been done up to date have tried using mobile apps and different things, but they really haven't been all that innovative. But now you mentioned drones. I mean, that's, you know, possibility. I've not really been a huge believer in using drones on a broad scale in appraisal valuation. For one, you have to find a drone pilot. Is that harder than finding an appraiser? Certain yeah. days they may not be able to be flown. How do they fly inside the home? Those kind of questions that come up. But it is cool, and everybody gets excited when they hear the word drone. But I really think what's going to transform our space is what we touched on briefly earlier, and that's computer vision and utilizing 3D scanning to generate floor plans that are extremely detailed, virtual tours that the desktop appraiser can use to walk through that property as if they were there. They have certain questions, they can zoom in, very high quality photography that at the same time leverages computer vision to, you know, increase the consistency and reliability of the measurements of the home and capture a lot more information at the same time that we've never been able to capture up to this point.
Talk about exactly what Class Valuation is doing that you're excited about. Some of the things that are a unique value proposition for yourselves.
Sure. So we're really all in on 3D scanning and mobile solutions. So what we believe that in order to decrease cycle times, you need to be able to capture that property information right when you're done with the inspection itself. We, you know, today we typically see 2 to 3 days between inspection and delivery and a timeline. So if you can reduce that to instantaneous, you know, that obviously takes out a huge component of cycle time. And we believe in developing mobile solutions that will make appraisers or, you know, potentially alternate labor forces, although, you know, Class is definitely focused on the appraiser populace right now to drive the bifurcated model, to make them more efficient so that while they're at the property, they can collect information quickly, accurately, and submit it instantaneously when they're done. And we do that using mobile technologies and alongside of computer vision and 3D scanning.
Talk about the 3D scanning. That is interesting.
It really is. It's cool stuff. I mean, that's what it's probably the most excited I've been in my profession overall in terms of what we're working on right now and where we're kind of heading, you know, from a industry perspective around property data collection. So, you know, everyone's probably familiar with a virtual tour, right? You've been on the MLS or looking, you know, searching around on realtor.com or one of the listing platforms, and you can click in and you've got photos, but you can click on the virtual tour and you can kind of walk through the home virtually. So those are generated using cameras that basically you set up in, you know, 1 to 2, what we call scans or spins in each room, where the camera takes a 360-degree photo from that spot. And as you move through the house, taking scans from each location, from each room, the computer vision can stitch all of those together to create that virtual tour. But what else it can do is with all of the machine learning and advancement in photo recognition and tools in that space, they can also extract measurements. They can capture information like floor material. We have an asset capture function, so you can get the year, make, model of all the major appliances in the home. You can smart tag. So if you're in a living room, for instance, and actually because of the HDR technologies now that they can deploy, is it takes 3 different apertures. So each spin does the 360, but within that, there's 3 different apertures taken for different light levels. And so it's really the technology that is able to get the best photo quality by merging those different apertures together. as I understand it. And I'm not the engineer behind it. That's the real secret sauce what these guys are doing. But it's really how you can merge that to create the best photo quality. And so you can be in a dark room. We've got, you know, examples with no electricity on a cloudy day, and you're still able to get high-level quality photos out of those properties.
Amazing.
It's continuing to advance. And what that really does, David, is now that downstream appraiser who's dependent on this information that's being provided to them, you know, up to
right.
this point, maybe they've had some photos and some data, and they're like, gosh, you know, I see something in this photo. You know, is that water that I'm seeing in that water damage in that back corner? But I can't zoom in, and the photo's kind of dark, and I'm concerned. So I feel like I need to go visit this property. Now we're giving them, or something that could be missed, even worse, right? Some major functional utility issue in the floor plan, like you have to walk through one bedroom to get into the other. The computer vision generates a very detailed floor plan, you know, measurements down to the room level. And it really gives that downstream appraiser the comfort they need to be able to say, yeah, I can do a credible valuation for my desktop using this information. And it also provides a lot more transparency for downstream participants and stakeholders in the mortgage process, so secondary markets, mortgage insurance companies, investors. Now they're getting a lot more information about the property than what they've been provided before with an appraisal and some photos in it.
Yeah, it's very exciting what you could do. What about things like, I started my career 46 years ago up in Seattle. I used to be an appraiser. They trained me as that, so I did that partly through the management training program as a part of it. And one of the things up there, they deal with dry rot. Are you able to, with the scanning, actually get in and start looking at structural potential problems there? To what degree is it currently, is the technology currently, and where do you see it going, Scott?
Where it can go is really unlimited, right? I mean, the technologies that are being used here are the same technologies that are being used to drive self-propelled vehicles, right? So we continue to advance so rapidly now in the technology sectors that, what's that old saying? Like the world is our oyster, right? It's going to continue
right.
to advance and go off in a lot of different directions. Today, I would say, you know, you're really restricted from a visual, you know, what you can identify visually is what you're going
right.
to be able to glean through the scan. So if it's something that is visually transparent, you're going to see it in the scan. You know, another example would be you can't hide. You know, we know if a room has been missed in the scan. We actually did a test where someone went out and they skipped a room. And when that came back in, the computer can point out that, hey, there's a missing room here. Somebody didn't scan one of the rooms in this home. And so it's fully transparent.
That's good.
It's extremely locked down so nobody can manipulate it. And so we have a raw data file of what that property looked like at time of origination.
You know, this is all really fun talking about what's possible with technology as you actually appraise a home. But let's talk about what the value is to lenders. Speed comes to mind. Obviously, we're going to get appraisals done at a faster rate, hopefully, and most likely at a lower cost.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I really think, as we talked earlier, what everybody's looking for is cycle time. And we used to always say, well, what's it matter if it takes a week or 10 days to get an appraisal done? And, you know, historically, when we're waiting on underwriters to gather all, you know, pay stubs and all this other information
yeah.
that they had to get, tax statements and, you know, bank statements, et cetera, it really didn't matter. But now that's all been digitized, right? That stuff all comes in instantaneously. And so we're left here with the appraisal turn time is becoming a challenge in the cycle time. And so we have to be able to drive cycle times down in our industry. And, you know, the idea is if we have appraisers, let's say we know ahead of time that desktop appraisal is going to be required, and we're gathering this information that can be uploaded to the cloud from the property through cellular technologies. Now there's another appraiser waiting for that information to come back in and able to do the desktop and the analysis and the report immediately after inspection within hours. Versus the way it would work today is, you know, most appraisers go out in the field and they inspect four or five properties and then they go back home and, you know, sit at their desk over the next 2 to 3 days. They type those appraisals and you know, you might be on the front side of that, you might be on the back side of that, right? And so
right.
it really helps to cut that cycle time down and deliver more instantaneous results. There's lots of other cool stuff and concepts that, you know, we can't talk about in great detail, but, you know, when and how we can capture this information up front so that we can have more instantaneous results in the process as well, or things that are being talked about and considered. And, you know, when you have the technology, like the 3D scanning, it really opens the doors up for a lot more opportunity. And from a, you know, credit risk perspective, providing waivers on these properties, it also brings a lot more transparency to that process. And we can collect a lot more detailed data. Like, I mean, the volume of rooms, the quality of construction can really be quantified because of the information that's being captured through the digital scanning. And the condition of the property now is extremely transparent. You can't argue over it because it's right in front of you. And you have a virtual tour to look at to really display what the condition of these properties are.
So their lenders are going to have a better look at the property, and they're going to get the product faster. And the cost, do you really envisioning the cost going down, or is the cost of technology going to keep the cost of appraisals where it's at?
So, you know, that's a good question. I think long term, there is definitely a chance that we're going to see costs go down. I mean, well, and think about it this way. If you only need a property inspection and the desktop is not required, you're saving a lot of costs there, right? Because you're not having to do that whole second part of the process. The technology is not that expensive. I think it's about the individuals that we end up with in the field doing the work and what their cost models are. But yeah, I think long term we are going to see a reduction in cost, and definitely in those outlying markets where costs of appraisals, quite frankly, have just gotten out of hand, right?
Yes.
Maybe not in your more major MSAs where appraisal cost is not really, you know, that out of hand currently as it stands today. I think it's more about driving quality and speed, the two key items.
Which really kind of goes to what's the future of certifications going to look like? I mean, we have all these requirements for the guys that used to go out, guys and gals that were certified. Is this technology going to make the certification process less onerous? Are there potentially more talent coming to the market as a result of this?
So, I think that's a good question. I definitely think that the technologies that are coming out will impact the skill level potentially that is necessary in the field. But at the same time, there's lots of discussion around what that looks like, right? We know these people are going into consumers' homes. That's a really important part of the process is public trust and safety and soundness, right? And so I think there's a lot of consideration. That's, again, what right now, class, we only work with appraisers in this process in our test and learn pilots. We're not testing any alternate labor forces. We believe in trying to make appraisers more efficient, and hopefully with that could also bring down cost if we can get them out doing more and making more money, as well as being able to reduce costs for the consumer at the same time. And I think it will bring more people in. I think when you bring technology into an industry, that's when you start to attract younger talent to want to come and participate. I don't think it's been that attractive over the last few years. You know, who really wants to go out and drag a tape on the outside of a house using, you know, a clipboard and paper and pencil? Go back and type in essentially a word processor to generate a report. I think we need to make it more exciting. And I think that's the next step we'll see in the industry, is we're going to start to see a lot of disruption in leveraging analytics and creating more credible results, you know, using data and analytics at the desktop for these appraisers as well.
We already touched on the future of the appraisal industry and the space, generally speaking. Big data. Data has just got to be so huge. You alluded to that earlier. Talk more about what do you think is the potential data could have, and then what are some of the drivers that could have a big impact on the future?
As big data starts to make a play in the industry, which it already somewhat has through appraisal waivers and, you know, AVMs, which get utilized not so much directly in the origination space. But, you know, 10, 15 years ago, when people were really concerned about AVMs and using analytics in valuation, you know, we didn't have computers driving cars. And with the advancement of technologies, I do think that's going to continue to become more and more of an impact to our profession. I believe that the right way to go is to create kind of a dual approach where you're providing appraisers with this information to be able to sift through. I think it's important that a human with skill be able to engage in that process. And I think that's where the really good appraisers are going to end up in the future. They're going to become more of an analyst, leveraging a lot more data and information at their fingertips versus just pulling comps out of an MLS platform and making, you know, a paired sales analysis, you know, adjustments in an Excel spreadsheet. I think we're going to start to see computers and technology and data play a bigger role in the appraisal process. And I think the only way we keep the profession credible is by doing that. Otherwise, the industry will start to look for other alternatives. And I think the appraisers play an important role in the process. And I think if we continue to advance the tools that we provide them, you know, they'll continue to be a big part of the mortgage process.
Well, it's getting proper valuations done on a property is not going to change. It's the collateral that makes it's really the backbone that supports the whole rate structure where we're at is the collateral. And I think it's so important that we have these kind of discussions. I'm encouraged by what I hear you're developing, and I'm so grateful that you took the time to join us today, Scott. And I'm really excited to hear about more changes as they develop. I'd like to have you back and talk more as you see things developing. There's a lot of, at the rate of change, at the rate of development, we certainly can be doing another one of these very soon. I hope to have you back.
I would love that. Absolutely. And we're doing a lot more tests and learns out there right now. And I think you're absolutely right. Come the first of next year, I think there'll be a lot more to talk about.
Well, let's plan on having you back at the first part of next year or at the end of this year to talk about what we can anticipate in the new year. Very exciting. Thanks, Scott. Really appreciate it. We've had as our guest today Scott Rose, Chief Innovation Officer for Class Valuation, located in Troy, but he's located in beautiful Colorado along with Michael Detwaller and a lot of the team there. So a lot of innovation coming out of this company. Folks, pay attention to it. If you have not gotten a hold of a representative of Class Valuation, I encourage you to do so. Go to their website, classvaluation.com, and check it out. Thank you so much again, Scott, for being here with me today.
David, thanks for having me. It's an honor to be here. Appreciate it.
Good interview. I enjoyed that. Going back, you know, you record these, then you go back and listen to them, and you realize there's a lot of good content in there. So anyway, thanks. Really appreciate Scott joining us. Next week, we have Dr. Alan Bernard returning to the podcast. Dr. Bernard is one of the leading decision scientists and the Theory of Constraint Experts, TOC, Theory of Constraint Experts. We're going to be having him talk about things that he's looking at and also talk about an upcoming masterclass on the theory of constraints, how to manage in a world that is changing, and how you can make good decisions. So you want to tune into next week's podcast. Again, his specialties is developing innovative decision support methods and applications to help individuals manage teams and do it better and faster, and making decisions better and faster. By the way, his last interview, Paul just made me aware of, is April 29th. Be sure to check out that podcast, April 29th. That's it for this week. Be sure to check out previous podcasts on our website, Lincoln on Lending, as well as you can go download any one of the segments that we have and listen to it by itself or that on to colleagues if you find it interesting. We like your feedback. Please contact us with information about what you like, things about the podcast, things you think we could do better. Special thank you to our sponsors, Black Knight, Open Mortgage, Finastra, Resex Warehouse Lending, a division of United Bank, the MBA, Lenders One, the Mortgage Collaborative, the CMLA, Community Mortgage Lenders of America, Velma, as well as Knowledge Coop, Vidyard, and AI Assist. Thanks for listening. If you're interested in becoming a podcast sponsor, get a hold of us. Appreciate you. Have a great week. Look forward to having you back here next week when we have Dr. Alan Bernard as our guest.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.